There was a rather mild-mannered guy who felt he was being bossed around by his wife. So he went to see a counselor to see what to do about it. And the counselor says you have to be more assertive and gain more confidence. So when he went home and walked in the door, he said to his wife, "Okay, I am the man of the house, and what I say goes. I want you to prepare a gourmet dinner for me. And when that's done, I want you to prepare a bath so that I might relax. And after that, guess who is going to help me dress and comb my hair?" And the wife said, "I guess that will be the funeral director." I think this couple didn't quite get the message about loving your neighbor. In today's first reading of the gospel, we hear words that are central to Jewish people from of old up to the present day. It is the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." And from this follows the first commandment, "Love the Lord your God." And then Jesus adds a second, "Love your neighbor." The first commandment teaches that it is not enough to know about God, as if philosophy and theology could substitute for a personal relationship with a God who loves us. The second commandment reminds us that the love of God isn't just a beautiful, mystical feeling. If it is true, it has consequences that makes a real difference in the lives of others. If we really love God and our neighbor, we are called into active, generous love for anyone who needs us. Well, folks, in 3 days, our neighbors in our nation, our states, and our cities need us. We will need to decide and then vote for who we think will best represent us. This is a responsibility we have to give careful thought to, and then to act, realizing our decisions will have consequences in the years ahead. So how do we decide? Where might we go for guidance in making our decisions? Since we call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, I would suggest one way might be to look at Scripture and the life of Jesus. How did he live his life? What are the things he stood for? What did he champion? As his followers, we are called to follow his example. Another area to look is Catholic social teaching. The most basic fundamental principle of Catholic social teaching is a deep belief that every human person is sacred and has dignity. Human dignity is an essential part of each person, an intrinsic quality that cannot be taken away regardless of behavior or legal mandate. This understanding of human dignity is the foundation of morality and the cornerstone of Catholic social teaching. Catholic social teaching also espouses the principle of the common good. Catholic social teaching instructs us to see that the good of each person is intimately related to the good of the whole community. It rejects the principle of the greatest good for the greatest number, as well as the stance of individualism. The rights of one group cannot be set aside for the convenience of the majority. And finally, in recent times, Catholic social teaching has been shaped by the primacy of love. Love should be at the heart of all interpretations, actions, desires, and hopes. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. And justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. And so we have an example of a life well lived, that of Jesus, some principles, philosophies, and that might help guide us. In addition to this, there are also some material items available to help. There's a table set up in the gathering area, and there's material back there. One thing is an Ignatian Examen for Civic Life. Those of you who have been here at St. Thomas More and know about the Jesuits, the examen is a big part of their lives, and they suggest that is a good thing for us to follow. So they've put together something about an examen for civic life. In addition, there is a call to holiness, a 2018 guide for voters. It was put together by 10 different organizations, and on the front of this call to holiness, well, some of the organizations were the Franciscan Action Network, Pax Christi USA, Sisters of Mercy of the Americas, and so on. And in the front of this call to holiness is a quote that says, "A good Catholic meddles in politics, Pope Francis." And then in the back, there's a handout, some questions that I kind of put together that might help. So who will work to end racist habits, racist deeds, and racial discrimination, and legislate to uphold the dignity of all people? Who will work to promote our environment, protect our environment, by promoting policies to combat climate change? Who will support increased funding for diplomacy, peace building, and development, and limit the amount we spend on arms and war? Who will make certain that everyone has affordable and comprehensive health care? Who will demand that we work with the United Nations and other countries and not against them? Who will advocate for sensible gun laws to decrease the daily homicides, suicide, and accidental deaths? Who will respect life and follow the seamless garment concept of valuing life from conception to natural death? Who will address the current income and wealth gap that exists, protect the social safety nets, and provide for the basic needs of food, housing, and education? Who will welcome the stranger and support to reform our immigration policies? Who will respect the First Amendment, freedom of religion and conscience, and have a thoughtful position that upholds both religious freedom and our responsibility to others? Who will work for the common good? President Harry Truman is said to have kept a sign on his desk that said, "The buck stops here." But it doesn't. The buck stops with you and me.